SBS Radio.
The Jewish community has cautiously welcomed a landmark announcement by the Australian government ending direct aid to the Palestinian Authority through the World Bank, amid growing concerns that Australia's tax dollars may be helping to fund terrorism. So Foreign Minister Julie Bishop announced that the government has done this, and instead of in terms of aid, the government will redirect $10 million allocation to the UN Humanitarian Fund for the Palestinian territories, of which 75% goes to aid in Gaza. So Julie Bishop said she's confident that previous Australian funding to the PA through the World Bank hasn't been used for terrorism, but she did say she's concerned that in providing funds for this aspect of the PA's operations, there's an opportunity for it to use its own budget, the PA, to fund activities that Australia would never support. And she said any assistance to the Palestine Liberation Organization, to those convicted of politically motivated violence, is an affront to Australian values, and it undermines the prospect of maintaining and achieving peace between Israel and the Palestinians.
Shane, I must tell you that Israel has passed a new law to hit the Palestinian Authority in the pocket as long as it insists on paying terrorists. And for every shekel the PA spends on its monthly salaries to terrorists and their families, and I'm talking about convicted terrorists that are in jail, in Israeli jails, Israel will freeze a shekel and a half that would otherwise be handed to Ramallah. And the law passed just hours after Australia terminated its funding to the PA. So this is a very interesting move. And from Israel, we had a very interesting guest this week. I met with him, the leader of the opposition, Isaac Herzog, and Yitzhak Herzog actually is the new chairman for the Jewish Agency. Very interesting person, and I saw in the Australian Jewish News there's quite a long interview with him.
Yeah, so we've got two pages on an interview he did with us. I must say, I went to one of his functions too, and he speaks very, very well, and he provided some interesting insights into various topics. Of course, he said he'd love to see Australia move its embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Talked about Australian Labor Party, the debates going on at the moment. He felt hopeful that Israel would still get some very good support. We did ask him what he thought about how, you know, left-wing parties around the world are increasingly sympathising with the Palestinian cause and becoming more critical of Israel. He said that's an issue he's faced with his sister party, the Australian Labor Party. He said he has great respect for the current Australian Labor Party leadership. And he said, however, there are streaks also in the Australian Labor movement, as well as in other movements around the world who are initiating and leading one-sided and unilateral steps against Israel on the Palestinian-Israel question without understanding the truth of the reality in the region, or the whole truth.
I also spoke to Isaac Herzog, and our listeners in the Hebrew section of the program heard the interview with him, and I've got also a message later on for our English listeners from Isaac Herzog. He's going to be the chairman of the Jewish Agency as from the 1st of August this year. And we're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, there's such good news in Sydney for the Russian-speaking community. After 12 years, they got permission to build the synagogue they wanted to build.
Yes, what a great story this is. It has taken a very long time. I think in 2006 was the first occasion when there was a development application lodged. Then there was a few other applications lodged, and it went to and fro from 2016 till just last week. But in the end, the Waverley Development Assessment Panel, it approved the Friends of Refugees of Eastern Europe's long-planned application to build a new shul and community centre, as well as some apartments, for the Russian-speaking Jewish community in Sydney. It's fantastic news. The Rabbi Yehoron Ullman, who co-founded the organisation with his wife, Shterni, he described the panel's decision as a tremendous milestone. It means that one of the largest minorities within Sydney's Jewish community will now have a home.
And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, another synagogue, the South Head Synagogue, with the saga of its outgoing Rabbi Malachi. What's the latest?
Been in the courts, some listeners may know, in the last year or two. But last week, the New South Wales Court of Appeal ruled that Rabbi Benzion Malachi's contract with what was called a South Head Shul as a company did not include the Jewish legal principle called Hazakah, which means life tenure, so that it means you would be for life a rabbi. So the court ruled against this in terms of Rabbi Malachi.
That's very interesting, because many rabbis think that when they are appointed as rabbi of a congregation, it's a life job. The court here, the civil court, ruled that it's not a life tenure for Rabbi Benzion Malachi. Therefore, the synagogue, the board of the synagogue, had the right to dismiss him and move on.
Yes, so long-standing members of this shul's congregation told us that the decision will help the shul move forward. One member said, we won't need to sell the shul anymore. The shul will be returned to the members.
We're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, before I let you go, what was the issue with Charles Sturt University with the students there?
Yeah, so this is Charles Sturt University in the Wagga Wagga campus. Now, about a month ago, there were some students who dressed as Nazi guards, Jewish concentration camp prisoners, and Ku Klux Klan members as part of a post-examinations party they held. Now, obviously, this was caused tremendous upset and offence to many people, Jewish and non-Jewish people, and it caused headlines around Australia. The university, after not taking any action for several weeks, has finally taken down and issued a range of penalties, from exclusion to suspension. And it's also required these students to complete education programs and engage with Indigenous and Jewish communities. And at least one student has been banned for 2 years. So the university's Vice Chancellor, Professor Andrew Van, said the images of the students, which were posted on social media, have resulted in global outrage and deeply offended Indigenous and Jewish communities. He said, and this is a welcome statement by him, as a university, we will not tolerate or condone this behaviour, and we will work with the students during the suspension to further educate them on the cultural impacts of their decisions.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and have a great week.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.